Lamed Nissen, Echod Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Sunday the 8th of May, Rabbi Shimon Kaplan, The Real Story.
It's a big pleasure to be here once again. See, the program Start Your Day is still continuing, Baruch Hashem, every morning. I speak about a very simple inyan, which always constantly needs a little bit of chizuk, speaking for myself. There's a pasuk in this week's Sedra, Leisas Ovel B'Mishpot, and the pasuk finishes off, B'Tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, which the literal translation of the pasuk is, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is that it's a command to Dayonim in the Bezdin to judge a dispute correctly, to try and get to the clarity and investigate the story properly. They should judge it correctly. Chazal tell us in this posuk, there's a remez to another din, as Rashi brings from the Torah's Kohanim. Hevedones kol odom lekavschus. Rashi brings from the Torah's Kohanim, there's an obligation to judge others favorably. And I once wondered why the Torah tells us to judge people favorably in this particular pasuk. And the pshat is, everyone agrees and understands that a Beis Din is obligated to make a judgment, to hear two sides in dispute, and investigate the matter and find out exactly who's right and who's wrong. The Beis Din can't turn around and say, look, you fight out yourselves. They're obligated to look into the matter and give a psak. The Torah is telling us in the same way, we are constantly judging. We see things, we hear things, we know about things. We are constantly judging others. And a person might think to himself, what's the difference? Do I have to think about the motives behind what the person did, or whether he did something good or something bad? The Torah tells us to judge people favorably in this pasuk, just like a Beis Din has an obligation to judge people correctly, so too every individual has an obligation to judge others. And judging others correctly is judging them favorably. When we know this din, have we done as kolodum lekaf schuz, so we tend to think, right, it's another din, but odum lechaveiroi. But it's more than that. We gain a great deal from judging others favorably. The famous Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chavzayin and Beis, Gemara writes, Tana Rabbanan, Adon Chaver Lekaf Zchus, a person who judges someone else favorably, Donin Oysoy Lezchus, Hakshpoch who judges him favorably. The Gemara gives and brings a fascinating story how a person who came from the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and he hired himself out to a balabos in the south, and he worked 3 years. It seems the agreement was to be paid to the end. When it came Erev Yom Kippur, he said, I'm going home, give me my wages, I'll be able to return home and feed my family. I've got no money. Give me payers, I've got no payers. Give me karaka, I've got no karaka. Give me behemoths, I've got no behemoths. Give me clothes, bedding, sheets. I've got it, I've got nothing. This person put his sack on his back and he travelled home. And the story is, as we know, who this person was, this balabos, he was a very wealthy man. And he claims he's got no money to pay the wages. After Yom Tov, the balabos came and travelled to his employee with a bag of money, the exact amount that he owed him, and he brought with him presents, 3 chamoyrim laden with food, drink, and all different types of presents. And he went to visit his former employee. The Gemara says very interestingly, Acha she'ochlo v'shosoy, when they first met, they didn't discuss his former employment, and it looks like the person welcomed him into his home and gave him to eat and drink. We would have said, you're the last person I want to see in the world. Right, get away from here. Right, he seemed to have taken him in with Hachlos Orchim, gave him to drink and to eat. And after he had eaten his fill, he'd just come off the motorway. After he'd eaten, he gave him his wages. He said to him, tell me the truth. When I told you I don't have any money, what did you think? I thought maybe you got a good deal. There was some schoira you could buy very cheap, and you used all your ready available cash to buy that schoira. When I said I've got no animals, what did you think? I thought maybe they hired out. And he gave an explanation and judged favorably this balabos for every item that he said he hasn't got. When he said, I've got no payers. When he said, I've got no bedding. I mean, you could see there was bedding in the house. So I thought, Mastama, maybe you are makdish all your nechosim to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it didn't belong to you. I promise you that's what happened. I was makdish all my nechosim because I didn't want my son, Hyrcanus, who wasn't learning Torah, to inherit me. And he says, just like you judge me lekavschus, Akshpoch should judge you lekavschus. And the Gemara says, if we judge others lekavschus favorably, Akshpoch judges us favorably. And the question is, when we see people doing things, and there are two ways to interpret their actions, badly, we can interpret them favorably, we have an option. We don't know the motives, we don't know what's going on in somebody else's brain. But Akshpochu, Boichen Leven, Choyke Kloyes, Akshpochu knows exactly what's going on in somebody else's brain and what his motives are and why he's doing something. So what does it mean if we judge people favorably, Akshpochu judges us favorably? Akshpochu, there's no suffix, there's no doubt when we do an action, why we're doing it, what we're thinking. So what does the Gemara mean? If Akshpochu sees a person judging others favorably, he judges him favorably. What does it mean? What's posh pshat in this Gemara? Chaim Shlevis is a gewaldige pshat. There's a posuk, the Odom ain't tzaddik ba'oretz, ki Odom ain't tzaddik ba'oretz, asher ya'aseh tov v'le'echta. There's no one perfect. There's nobody who doesn't sin. And the Mefarshim ask, there are people who don't sin, there are tzaddikim, and they explain pshat. Asher ya'aseh tov v'le'echta, there are people who do good things, but the good things are not perfect. Sometimes we do things because we want people to see us doing it, other people are doing it. There's social pressure to behave in a certain way. Very often we do a mitzvah, the mitzvah's not perfect. A yid came to the Chofetz Chaim with a beautiful esrog and showed the Chofetz Chaim the esrog. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, I hope the money with which you purchased the esrog is as mehuda as the esrog itself. That's what he said to him. Our mitzvahs are not always perfect. Reminds me of another story. A bocher came to Rav Moshe Halberstam, Zechon Lebrocha. He asked him, is it alright, leketchila, to buy an esrog in a closed box? Don't spend so much time, Erev Sukkos, looking for an esrog. Can I buy an esrog in a closed box? It's been checked by a Tam Toch, and it's got a paper on it that it's a kosher esrog. Is it permitted for me to buy an esrog? Is it alright for me to buy an esrog in a closed box? So Rav Moshe Halberstam said to me, I hope you appreciate this. For Bochrim, such a story. So if you buy your borsalino hat, you've got kids, you know what it's like buying children hats, right? How many hats do they try until they find the right one? So if you buy your borsalino hat in a closed box, you tell the fellow what the size you want, what type of hat you want, and he gives you a sealed box. If you buy your borsalino hat in a closed box, you can buy an esrog in a closed box. That's what he said to him. So sometimes we do things, yes, I'm buying esrog in a closed box. When it comes to our buying our hat, or our car, or something else, then we scrutinize it, we won't buy it in a closed box. Sometimes we send things back that come in the mail, which we've ordered. We don't often match the way we serve Akshpoch and the way we look after ourselves. So that Mefarshim explain, there are people that do toiv, there's nobody who does toiv aliechta. In the good deeds, there's also chatoim, it's not done perfectly. I want it from Atzel Solomon. So Zayn Gesund, he said that 40, 50 years ago, red flu swept through England. And it reached the north, east, He reached Gateshead on Erev Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah, there's just about a minion in the shul. Just about. It wasn't a very serious flu, but it was flu with high temperature. He had to stay in bed. Very catchy. After Rosh Hashanah, within 24 hours, everybody got better. It was a short flu. Shabbos Shuvah, the shul was packed. Packed. Everybody was back. Rav Tolly Shakovitsky, the Zecharei Nivracha, gave a drosha, and he said, Rav Boyce, I want to tell you something. The way you davened in your pajamas this Rosh Hashanah, that's really how you daven every year. It's very hard for a person to know how well he davens, because there's an atmosphere in the shul, there's people around him, people see him. A person's got all the b'cheshboinus on his tefillahs in Rosh Hashanah. The Rav said, this year, you can find out where you're up to. We do things properly, we put on tefillin, put on tzitzis, we daven, but if we're scrutinized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can be left with very, very little. It's actually a Gemara Menachos, that I'm giving on the base. The Gemara of David HaMelech, a famous Gemara, a famous story, went to the base HaMelechitz, and he looked at himself. He was Orem B'mitzvahs. The Posh of Pshat is he had no tefillin on, he had no tzitzis. He had to take it off, he's going to the base HaMelechitz. The wash house, the baths. He saw his tefillin, he saw his mila. What?
He remembered his mila.
That's right. He remembered his mila, the Gemara says. He had a gewaltige simcha. He's there with the mitzvah. And he composed one of the kapitlach tefillin. Lamasech al-Hashminis. So the Chafsoif explains what's pshat in this Gemara. And he says pshat in the Gemara is he went to Merchatz. He went in order to purify himself and make a chepel nefesh. Where is he up to in life? And he looked, he saw, even though Lamelech, he saw his mitzvahs weren't perfect. When he remembered this bris mila, he said, there's one mitzvah that's perfect. A child gets taken in the eighth day to have his bris mila. He has no ulterior motives. He's not doing it for everybody else. He's not doing it because other people had it done. That's what he says, Shem Shnichlis Ebris Keni Konus Noterach Ubra Mas Mtoivim. So he was Mesameach, there's at least one mitzvah which is 100% pure, it's not tainted by any ulterior motives. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Hadonis Chaveir Lekavschus, when a person judges somebody favorably, Hashem Baruch Hu judges us favorably. Meaning, he doesn't scrutinize us. So it's not just there's a kiyum of Betzedek Tishpat Amisecho. If a person judges others favorably, he gets continuously judged back, spoken favorably. This person, he put on tefillin. I'm not going to scrutinize whether he had kamona, whether he had any machshavas when he was carrying his tefillin, which he's not supposed to have. He put on tefillin, I'm giving him a tick. So being done others lakaf zechus has a gewaltige gain in the reward we're going to get for our mitzvahs in the next world. Chofetz Chaim brings a medrash. Kos Hashem al ba'al lashon hara. Shmuel was very angry with Baal Lashon Hara. And Baal Lashon Hara, as the Chofetz Chaim brings from the Medrash, Ma'at Torah Shesh B'yotcha Atam Abdo. You lose your Torah that you've learned from the mitzvahs you've done. You all know the famous pshat in that Medrash, but could be, there's another pshat in the Medrash. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's been judging other people in the wrong way, not favorably, as the Chofetz Chaim writes. Being judging people favorably stops people speaking Lashon Hara. So the mitzvahs that we've got, the Torah that we've learned, we lose it. Because Hashem Baruch Hu starts scrutinizing exactly our mitzvahs and our Torah that we've learned. If it is it perfect, isn't it perfect? That doesn't mean that when we see something which is doesn't look right, judging favorably shouldn't inhibit our efforts at clarification. As a chassid shevet, la todnes chavrecha shetigilim kaimai. Don't judge your friend. So the posher pshat is till you're in his position. As a chassid shevet, la shetigilim kaimai. Till you reach his place, ask him, find out what's going on. I once heard a story from Yoel Kramer, Rosh Machanach in America. Sure, it's a true story. He said that a rebbe once came a few minutes late into class. The boy sitting in the front went like this to him. Showed him his watch. Spontaneously, the Rebbe would have probably thrown him out of the classroom. What a chutzpah. The Rebbe kept quiet. And after the lesson, the Rebbe told the boy to wait behind. And he said, when I came in, you showed me your watch. Why did you show me your watch?
He said, Rebbe, I've been waiting for a watch for so many months. My father last night bought me the watch. I wanted to show the Rebbe I got a new watch. He said, don't be locked. I'll tell you another nicer. One of the Rabbonim here in Golden Screen Tacker told me the story about himself. When he first got married, took a teaching job in the Sinai Torah in Stamford Hill. Don't remember the exact figures, but I think he was getting paid about £1.20 an hour at the time. And after a few months, he realized he couldn't manage on this £1.20 an hour. So he went to Rav Shmuel Kapinski Zecharei Livracha, and he asked him for a rise. He said he really needs £1.60 an hour to be able to manage. Shmuel said, I can't. The school budget is tight enough. I cannot give you a raise. I'm really sorry. So this, he looked for something else, and he found a job in Hasmonean here in Golders Green, and they paid him £2 an hour then. I don't remember the exact figures, but anyway. And he left this job in Sod HaTorah, and he started working in Hasmonean. He lived in Stamford, he commuted every day, it was worth it for him. A few months later, he met a friend of his, and he asked him what he's doing. He's teaching Sod HaTorah, which class, and he had taken his job. How much are they paying you now? I don't know whether they've got to speak about the salary. He said, they're paying me £2.10 an hour. He got a shock of his life. He decided, look, he's so angry with Rav Shmelka. Don Kafsos doesn't stop us from trying to clarify where it's possible. He went to Rav Shmelka. And he said Rav Shmelka took him, and he told Rav Shmelka, you told me you can't pay more than £1.20, and you're paying this fellow £2.10, what's pshat? I'm so happy you came to see me, he says. I'll tell you pshat. This fellow's father wanted him to go into chinuch. He was scared. The salary is so small, it will put him off. This fellow's father is a wealthy man. He told me, when my son comes to apply for the job, offer him £2.10 an hour. You want to pay him £1.20, I'll pay the 90 pence difference, and I please don't want him ever to know. So he told this yid, who lives here in Goldstein, he told him that £2.10 is not us paying him. It's his father paying for it, and the fellow doesn't know about it. It shouldn't inhibit our efforts of clarification. And even when we do try and clarify, we're not satisfied with the answer, we still got a chiv to be Donnikov's course. I had a true story myself. In Yeshiva, we're not allowed to have mobile telephones. But that was about 8 years ago now, because the fellow's married. Yeah, there's a boy who had a mobile telephone. I said, you know what, you're not allowed to have a mobile telephone in Yeshiva before they catch on to it. They give it to me, I'll look after, you know, I'll buy it off you. It was a simple phone, I'll buy it off you. And I convinced him to give it up. Anyhow, so he said he'll bring me the phone in the afternoon seder. He didn't have any shivas in the morning. He'll bring it for the afternoon seder and give it to me. He brought it to me in the afternoon seder, paid him like it was £10 or something, and he gave me the phone. I put it in my pocket. Phone belongs to me. I came home, it's a true story happened to me. I switched the phone on. I'm waiting for it to get reception. The phone, the battery's alive, there's no reception. I open the phone, take out the battery, there's no SIM card. I thought, what a cheek. I wasn't buying a schmutter phone, and he'll put the SIM card on another phone, or he thought I wasn't going to open. Anyhow, so I went. The next day, I said to him, listen here, he gave me the phone, it's got no SIM card, then what's going on here? He says, it's definitely got a SIM card inside. It can't be. He said, it must have fallen out. I said, I'm sorry. We don't manufacture. Maybe the SD card can fall out, but the SIM card's always behind the battery. It couldn't have fallen out. Listen here, I was going away for Shabbos. I said, listen here, take the SIM card, find it, give it to me, put it in an envelope, put it through my front door. I came back to Shabbos from London late at night. I looked through the post. I was expecting to see the SIM card. No. I was very annoyed. Other than Baruch Hashem, I decided not to say anything and let the matter rest. But in the back of my mind, I thought, what a cheek. He's probably going to go up to another phone, and I don't know about that. About 3-4 weeks later, I'm at Chasna in Manchester, local Chasna, and his father came over to me and said to me, did you buy my son's phone off him? I said, yes. He said, did you notice he's got no SIM card? I said, yes. So I'll tell you what happened. I found out my son had the phone without my permission, and in the morning, when he went to Yeshiva, I took the phone, I took the SIM card out. I want to see what he's been doing with it. It's a text message on it. I want to see what he's doing with the phone. When I wanted to put it back without him knowing about it, in the afternoon I saw it was gone. And just that evening he started speaking about the phone. It wasn't the right thing to do. And he sold it to Shemek Kaplan and he paid me for it. And he just told over the story. I thought, wow.
the phone didn't have a SIM because the father, it was true. It hadn't fallen out and the boy was taka, innocent. So sometimes we do seek clarification. And I wasn't very happy with the answer that the SIM card had fallen out. But even so, we've got to be done the kastos. I wasn't, but what has to be done the kastos. Later we can find out that the story, there is a story. The story can be so extreme. Can be really extreme. And when we are done the kafslos, we gain so much. Akshpoku judges us favorably. It's so hard to do everything properly, all the mitzvahs properly. We try. But a lot of what we're doing, because it's bulamoda, it's out of habit, it's pasnish not to do it. It's very difficult to do all the mitzvahs properly. When you learn Mishnah Berurah, every page, you suddenly realize everything has so many halachas, how to put on fin, how to put on sitzes, what to do when you go out of the house by kissing the mezuzah. There are so many halachas in every few lines of Mishnah Berurah, in every mitzvah we do, that we forget them, we don't think about them, we miss them sometimes. But Shmuel is going to start scrutinizing us. We're not going to be left with much. But if we judge people favorably, as Rav Chaim from Levitz, Shmuel will look at us from the distance and say, this person is doing his mitzvahs, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, I'm going to judge him favorably as well. Which is another story. I had also a personal story. I was a bocher, and I was ben hazmanim in Tzvas. I decided to hike from Tzvas to Amuka. I couldn't find anyone who wanted to come with me. So I hiked myself. It was a few miles, and I had some sort of map. It wasn't a proper ordered survey map. I didn't have one. But I managed, Baruch Hashem, to get to Amuka. I expected to get a lift back, because Amuka, Kishmoykehu, it's very low, and the hot weather to start climbing up. The heat of the day, I thought, I'm sure I'll get it. I got there and there's nobody there. And I waited and waited and waited. I waited about half an hour, I thought it was a busy place. Suddenly, I see a car coming down slowly. In those days, it was very like a rubble road coming down. Coaches couldn't come there in those days. And a car comes down. It was the sort of car you didn't see in those days in Eretz Yisrael. One of those 740 Volvos, you know, in England it was posh, but in Eretz Yisrael it was a car the ministers had. Yeah, but there was a Gantz Achshivas. Nice white one, looked spanking new. And he parked in the parking lot there, and he came out. A young Israeli came out. I noticed he was walking very slowly. And he came and said a few kapitlach trillim. When he finished, I asked him, can I lift back? Either to a bus stop at the top of the hill or back to Sfas. He said, well, take me back to Sfas. I was boiling about getting in the car, and the air conditioning is blowing, and it's comfortable. And he turns to me, he says, Zola shalosh shekel. Plus 3 shekel. That's what he says to me. I thought he was joking, but he says, yeah, Ken, shalosh shekel, yeah? Those days are about £2. Fine, you know, I'll prepare the paper. So I took out 3 shekel, and I put it on like a little shelf those cars had in the dashboard, and I saw the other shkolim there, and half shkolim there. Anyhow, I kept quiet. And he says to me, Ritz, atah chashev shani ashir, Ken? You think I'm rich? I said, no, you don't see these cars in Eretz Yisrael, and people don't usually drive these type of cars. You must be a rich man. He starts laughing. And he says to me, I was in the army, and I was a sap, I was clearing mines, that was my job. About a year ago, we went through a minefield, and we were clearing mines, and it's a whole system how they do it, and the fellow in front of me must have missed the mine, and I stepped on a mine, and as he's driving, he shows me his foot, it's a wooden foot, his foot blew off. He's been in hospital for months and months, and obviously he's discharged from the army. As compensation, the army gave him this car. The reason why people didn't drive nice cars in that struggle is it was 450% tax on such a type of car. But the army, the government, there was no tax. They gave him the car as compensation. Then he says to me in Ivrit, but you can't eat a car. That's what he says to me. I can't eat a car, he says to me. He says, I can't work. I'm still so schwach, I can hardly walk. So I make a little bit panosa to support myself. Stop at bus stops. I try and give people lifts. That's why I asked you for 3 shekels. I really felt bad. I really felt bad. I looked at him as, what a fella, he's going to charge me 3 shekel. He bought himself a car for $100,000. No, he had no money, and he can't eat a car, and he's charging me 3 shekel. He needed money, he needed to feed his food. A poshto maisa. She said, when you judge somebody badly, you meant to give him a bracha afterwards. I felt really bad. We'll have to seek clarification. If we don't find the clarification we're expecting, we still got a chiyuv to be don lekafskos. So Mordechai met the targum on the pasuk Oyer Zerul Atzadik Ulyishrei Leiv Simcha. Oyer Zerul Atzadik Ulyishrei Leiv Simcha. What What does Yishrei Lev mean? The Targum writes, Ulatirutze libo simcha. And the Farshim explain the reason why people often, very often, can't enjoy life. What someone did to me, what someone said to me, how someone behaved towards me. All these are reasons that take away from a person simchas achaim. We care what other people think of me, what other people do to me. Also a good line, first 20 years of our lives, we're always worried what everybody's thinking of us. The next 20 years, we say, look, I can't run my life like that. It's so much pressure. I don't care what people think, I want to do what I want. Then there comes a new stage, the following 20 years. Suddenly dawns on us, nobody's thinking about us. But the reality is, the reason why it's often very elusive, the simchas achayim, it's always worried what people think, what people are saying to us, what people are doing to us. It's not the targum, ule tirutze libo simcha. When people have tirutzim in their heart, they always try and answer other people's actions against them or against other people, they can find simcha. Ule tirutze libo simcha. We're going to try and have an abundance of tirutzim in our brain for other people's actions which might be conceived as being actions which are not right. We're going to have lots of tirutzim readily available to interpret other people's actions when they're against us or against others. If we do that, there'll be a gewaltige simcha. So many upsets will disappear. As they teach, oy zeru la'tzadik, light, zeruat, planted, it's hidden. The tzaddik knows in every person there's a light. People are not as bad as we think. People have got answers. They can explain their actions, the way they behave. Oy zeru, there's a oy zeru la'tzadik. The tzaddik looks for that hidden light. Or yishrei lev, if we have terutzim in our heart, simcha, we can have a gewaltig simcha zachaim. I once had this shiur, what's about 8-9 years ago, in Manchester. And after somebody came over to me and said to me the following story, he said to me that just this morning there was a mashulach in the Beis Medrash. And he was davening. He had to sit upside down. And people sort of noticed his sitter was upside down. They thought maybe he's, you know, maybe he's a goy, even maybe he's a fraud. They weren't sure. What's pshat? And then, you know, people thought everything. You know, fellow's got to sit upside down. You know things, how it goes. And it was like a stranger. He'd sit upside down. He'd turn the pages. The sitter was upside down. What's pshat? Someone said, look, let's find out what's pshat. He wasn't blind. The story was that they went over to him and they asked him, do you realize you've got your sit upside down? Let's see how it'll react. So, oh, there's something strange going on here. He said, of course, I have my sit upside down. He says, why? So I was brought up in Taimon. In my cheder, there was one siddur for every four boys. So each boy learned how to read in a different direction. I was one who sat on the other side. He says, I learned to read upside down. He said, all my life, I hold the siddur upside down. You know, Taimon, they were very poor, they had no money for siddur for each boy in the class. Again, go around to him, ask him. He might explain it to you. Once he's explained it to you, it's very simple, and everybody felt so guilty. They all started thinking all different stories. Maybe it's a terrorist in disguise, you know what? They couldn't think, how can you be doubling with the siddur upside down? And the answer was so simple. If we can't ask, or it's too embarrassing to ask, then we're stuck. We've got to be judged. We've got to be metzedek. We've got to judge favorably. If we can ask, usually we get a satisfactory answer. His father's paying his wages. Such a simple answer. There's nothing to think about anymore. And sometimes, like in that story I told you beforehand, where it made no sense, the SIM card's fallen out. Think, how can that happen? We've got to think. Maybe another story happened. Whatever it could be, something could have happened which made the SIM card not be in that phone. And the reality is that I've never met the father, he might have never told me, I've never known about it. I've gone around my whole life thinking this fellow lied to me, he's not honest. Even we're not happy with the answer, we should accept it. And if we accept it with Don Le Kafsus, then we've got so much to gain from that, because I spoke with Judge Asle Kafsus.